Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Am I tough enough?
Strong and stable leadership.
Total rhubarb.
Hell yes, I'm tough enough.
Shut the fridge.
Not another one.
It's the Politics Show cast.
Joshua Duggam and Nish Kumar, welcome to Politics Show.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Good to see you. Good to see you both as well. Thank you very much for coming in. Kind of an anti-talk show format. This isn't it. The host is never in the middle.
It looks like an under-attended panel show.
And the budget for Mock the Week is just a fair person.
Do you know what? Less than you would have thought.
Yeah. I don't even think they were paying Dara by the end. I think Dara did the last series of Mock pro bono.
The cameras weren't even on.
Yeah, the cameras were on, but that was about all they were paying for.
Well, both comedians and you both moonlight as local journalists.
Yes.
For your excellent show, Hold the Front Page.
Yes.
Which will be out on Sky imminently.
That's the kind of thing I don't
April
know.
April the 22nd.
April the 22nd. That's, look at that. That's a man across the facts.
Let's just wait for a pause. 24. April the 24th.
Thanks, Molly.
Well, if they go to the site and just hold refresh for 2 days, then...
But I imagine...
What's happening on the 22nd? Something's happening on the 22nd.
What? You're re-watching Series 1, which is available still as a Skybox set?
Yeah, it's still available.
Yes, it is.
Hold the Front Page, Series 1, available now. Series 2, available from April the... You can just edit the right date into the...
Just your lips are moving, another voice says.
Yeah.
And the show is... We'll just edit.
Let's go
good over
the
top of that.
Well, before, to make sure the audience leaps, stops this video and goes straight to watch it now. Good.
Josh, don't stop this video. Joe need the hits.
Yeah, we do need the retention actually. Yeah, yeah. So watch this in full and then go straight to Sky to watch this. Josh, could you tell us a bit, what's the format of the show?
Yeah, me and Nish go and work for a series of six separate local papers for 4 days each and attempt to get the front page around the UK and indeed Spain.
Spain?
Benidorm, so the UK.
talk us through that experience, I suppose. What was working in Benidorm like?
Well, Benidorm is fundamentally, I would say, I don't want to use the word radicalised this early on in the podcast, but having come back from Benidorm, I have no interest in hearing any conversations about immigrants who refuse to integrate into the country. Like, I have no interest in hearing it. Benidorm...
Whereas before, you were quite up for those conversations.
Well, listen, before, I was, like, at least willing to entertain the conversation. I was at least willing to engage with it as a premise. Benidorm, I don't know what has happened there. There is no Spanish person to be seen.
Just lots of English people.
It was incredible.
Yeah.
I would say... if you imagine Benidorm, twice what you're imagining.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's okay. So just like double the amount of
bold men. I actually loved it. And I think I'll probably move there when my career hits the skids.
You probably create quite a decent career. Sticky Vicky's passed away.
R.I.P.
R.I.P.
What's Joshy Washy? Up next.
I was going to say we should explain who Sticky Vicky was. I don't think we should.
No.
Just say she
would
was a beloved
Google
Benidorm.
It, yeah, don't
Google it. If you're going to Google it, you're going to have to whack the safe search off.
Yeah. Not a work.
Not a work. That's not a work. NSFW.
Paul, this show is not liable for your continued employment.
But
yeah.
You shouldn't be watching Joe at work either, really.
You can get him away with it.
Depends on what your job is.
Yeah.
If you're a local journalist, this is right up your street.
Exactly.
I think you should watch it, if you work at the Big Four, perhaps. You should watch dual content.
What are the Big Four?
The Big Four accountancy firms like KPMG, PwC.
Not Manchester United, Chelsea, Arsenal, and Liverpool.
Eric Ten Hag bawling out Marcus Rashford for watching Joe in the dressing room.
That'd be sick. I'd actually love that.
I refuse to acknowledge the success of Manchester City to such an extent that I still only refer to it as the Big Four.
I still count Everton.
As they call it, the First Division. Local journalism in Benidorm, for an English-speaking audience, it's a paper called Euro Weekly News.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
So are you writing for Brits in Benidorm or for perhaps an English-speaking Spanish public?
Anyone that will pick up the paper.
Yeah.
But I think it is for the Brits. I think, I'll be honest, that implies a level of journalistic skill that we didn't have.
No, yeah. We don't have an answer to that question. Yeah. It's a pretty damning indictment of our efforts.
Just reach the word count.
Yeah.
We're thinking, does this appeal to the core demographic?
Mainly what we were thinking was, we're still 15 words short. Yeah. How is that possible?
It's a really, really sunny day.
Yeah. I'd say, generally, and this goes to all 12 places we've worked, it's such a skill to be a local journalist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the way, you know, when they say, there's like a kind of cliche that people say that it would be really good if a normal person ran next to the 100 meters Olympic final to show how fast they are. This is the local journalism equivalent. It's putting us in a local journalist office, shows how skilled and good they are. Because actually, if you're shit, you're shit.
Really shit.
Yeah.
Like, there's a couple of episodes, I'm thinking particularly of the Isle of Wight episode, where we are sort of pitted in almost direct competition with one of the professional journalists.
Really?
And it really blew up in our faces.
Yeah. A man probably close to 20 years my junior.
I don't think he was 20 years younger than
me. He was like 23, wasn't he?
I think he was like late 20s. He just his name's Ollie and he looks about 12.
Yeah.
But I think he was late 20s.
He was late 20s. Well, actually, he was, should have been better.
You'd have gone harder.
Yeah.
So it's good to come away from these things with like a nemesis as well.
Yeah, that is that episode particularly, there is a adversarial dynamic established between us and Ollie.
Nish, what were you doing to him? Were you putting the middle finger up to him or something?
Yeah, I was telling him to go fuck himself.
Go fuck himself in the presence of Princess Anne.
Yeah, she wasn't in the conversation. I wasn't like, listen, hey, dog, just pipe down for 1 second. Go fuck yourself, Ollie.
Yeah.
We were trying to cover her appearance.
Right.
It was Cowes Week, which is like a sort of big sailing event on the Isle of Wight. Mm-hmm. And she was making a sort of public appearance and we were trying to cover it. Ollie had already covered it and filed a story about it. And he turned up essentially to mock us. And so there is a shot where I'm telling him to go fuck himself, where the camera operator managed to put Princess Margaret out of focus quickly.
Princess Margaret was there, I think you're writing about Princess Anne.
If Princess Margaret was there, we've missed a scoop.
Guys, I'm so sorry. I do not know a lot of their names. I only know the main ones.
You only knew Andrew from that interview onwards.
Yeah. Prince Andrew, the guy from Newsnight.
The Newsnight interview.
I know the main ones and the nonces.
And the Venn diagram.
And just every so often.
As a journalist watching it, I found it actually incredibly relatable. There's a scene in the first series where you're running along a grass verge chasing Boris Johnson.
That's true.
Journalism just takes you to the least glamorous places. No one sees the behind the scenes stuff of you
Just like running. Like on a verge near a sixth form college in Blackpool.
Yeah. I mean, to give you an idea, if people at home could see the room where the cameras aren't focused here.
If you think this is glamorous, then. We don't want.
It's amazing what you can do with a couple of green lights, isn't it?
We're not actually inside. This is. No, the joke. So you need to watch for.
It's sort of somewhere between a tech startup and a Fritzl bunker, right?
we don't endorse that comment. The Joe Media Group disavows that entirely. Obviously, local journalism. It's incredibly important.
It's incredibly important.
And it's part of the lifeblood of journalism, which in of itself is a huge like ballast against anti-democratic and, you know, immoral behaviour.
Yeah.
But it's also been kind of hollowed out by various unregulated social media platforms.
Yeah, there's obviously lots of local papers have died, essentially. Like, there's a massive, the industry has been decimated. Kind of what I'm interested in, when you went to all these places around the UK, what kind of resources were available? What were the newsrooms like? Was it less than what you thought it was going
Sometimes
to be? Was it
more? There wasn't a newsroom.
Really?
Yeah, there was. Well, there was one place, Farming Life in Belfast, where the editor runs the entire operation out of their house.
And the one, and the Moorlander.
Yeah, the Moorlander as well, yeah.
So two. That's 22 out of 12
which is
run from houses.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
It's because they don't have the funds to have a newsroom.
Well, yeah, it's just tight. It's just like, you know, there's not many people, you know, it's just incredibly, you've just got to cut every corner to make these things work. Do you know what I mean? And I think even when you went to newsrooms, you would see lots of empty seats. They've obviously got these big rooms that, you know, they've got smaller staffs than they maybe had when they moved there 15, 20 years ago or whatever. And it's incredibly difficult for these things to run at a profit. They're trying to adapt to the internet, and that's obviously a big thing. There's like Irish startups coming over here and really treading on them.
Right. Interview done. Thanks very much for your time.
No, it's incredibly difficult because obviously they've got a really important role within the local community.
Yeah.
And also, on top of that, like, well, you've said this before, Nish, the greatest example of that is when Liz Truss did all those interviews with local journalists, and she thought it'd be a kind of easy softball morning, and she got destroyed because they are incredibly knowledgeable about their area. And, you know, there's local things going on that aren't going to get covered in the national press, and they need to be held to account as much as, you know, Pippa Creer doing an expose in The Guardian.
Well, and they also understand how the big national issues tessellate and interact with the issues that they're facing locally. But because of the various funding cuts, the journalists we met are all incredibly resourceful. They have the traditional journalistic skills of, you know, shorthand and filing copy on time to, you know, to a strict word count and a deadline. But also they have to sometimes take their own photographs. A lot of the time they're now generating video content as well. That was the amazing thing about Ollie in the Isle of Wight, was that he was constantly sort of doing Facebook Lives and uploading stuff, because they're really trying to adapt to the sort of new media landscape.
Yeah, and I think, so we weren't just bad, but we were old.
But also the two worst things you can be.
But also, I think it's not even just our rapidly advancing age. It's also just, I think you and I are particularly bad at managing social media for people even our age. I'm not even comparing us to like 22-year-old TikTokers. I'm saying even in the context of people in their late 30s and early 40s.
I did a TikTok quiz about my favourite chocolate bar last week. Thank you very much.
I've seen your TikTok efforts.
4 million views on that. That can be. And you've sold out the O2?
Well,
but I would have to talk about chocolate bars every night.
I would have absolutely loved to see some of that acumen be applied to the work we did in the TV show. I don't know whether since we've stopped filming, you've become good.
Well, we'll see.
At the time, you could barely tell the difference between portrait and landscape.
What was your favourite story?
Two great Sky shows, should I just say. Portrait and Landscape Artist of the Year. And I prefer Portrait.
What was your favourite story?
I sat as a portrait
artist.
So I was a subject of Portrait Artist.
Yeah, so was I, yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Did you keep the portraits?
I felt I had to.
Yeah. At the end, you get given the one that you pick, but then I bought all of them because I thought they were all really great. And now they're hanging in my parents' house, and it looks like their child is a North Korean dictator. It's absolutely baffling.
We've got similar politics.
Yeah.
You've got the potential for that, I think.
Sorry.
NK.
Yeah, yeah.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
It's the Politics Show cast.
What was your favourite story you covered in this series?
Well, I don't want to answer for you, but I feel I know what it is.
Well, I was actually going to say, from a kind of genuine perspective,
right?
The Bradford cleanup, Bradford.
Oh,
campaign.
That's not what I thought you were going to say.
No, no, no. I was going to say Gus Honeybutt.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought you were going to say.
From a genuine perspective, that for me was something I was. It's rare that you do something. Well, let's just say it this way: it's rare that you do something on a television show of any actual worth.
Damning. Wow.
But no, but
comedy,
do you know what
in this
I mean?
Country's folded in.
No, but do you know what I like?
Really
it was
incredible.
It was this campaign of these locals to clean up Bradford because there's this incredible fly tipping problem. And that was incredible to see. And it was incredible to go. I left with I had no prior knowledge of Bradford, really.
Yeah.
And I left with a real love for Bradford. And so that was the one that made me feel most proud to cover it for the local paper and for it to be in the show. Otherwise, we relaunched a puppet from the 90s in Devon called Gus Honeybun that was a freaky rabbit, and I loved that.
It's so weird. Like, the whole thing is so weird. If you didn't grow up in Devon and you arrived there, and Josh kept saying, oh, there's this thing, Gus Honeybun, everyone in Devon's obsessed with it, and I thought, yeah, fine, whatever. This is clearly something Josh was fixated on as a child. And then you get there and everyone is obsessed with Gus Honeybun.
Yeah. So is it like a Barney the Dinosaur thing?
But only on a local channel.
It was only on a local channel. You'd send in your birthday.
Yeah.
And then Firm Britain, who was the local presenter, would read it out. And Gus Honeybun, who was a rabbit on a stick, would bounce up and down.
And to be clear, the rabbit looks like it died of myxomatosis. It's one of the most unwell-looking fake animals I've ever seen in my life.
It makes the rabbit from Donnie Darko look cuddly.
I really loved the shot. I mean, I don't know if I'm giving away things that we shouldn't be giving away, but I really loved the Charlotte Church's appearance in the show.
Oh, yeah. That
because
was.
She's Charlotte Church is like very involved in like river cleanups, because obviously are currently, unfortunately, our rivers and coastlines are having human shit pumped into them.
Yep.
She's been doing lots of stuff to raise awareness about that. And we did like one of the things that she does, she sort of does these pop-up gigs. And she did one in South Wales and she sang The River Man.
Yeah, it was great.
By Nick Drake. It was really incredible.
She can really knock out a tune.
Charlotte Church? Yeah.
No.
Exclusive. Yeah. I don't know whether Sky are going to not let us say that.
I'm going to reach for the phrase, voice of an angel. But also, it was great because we actually got to talk to some scientists that are doing, you know, desperately trying to clean the rivers up. Mm. One of them said something that I still think about because my partner enjoys wild swimming. Mm. And he said, my daughter loves wild swimming. And here's the only thing I keep saying to her, don't swim with your mouth open.
Oh, oofed.
Just in case a turd floats in.
That's horrific.
As far as I can tell, that's the only Brexit benefit we've enjoyed. Is that we're now able to pump human shit into rivers.
And every free Englishman should have the right.
Every free Englishman should have the right to shit directly into a river.
Oh, yeah.
Whether the Welsh and the Scots want to do it as well, that's their business. But every free Englishman.
Well, we were in Wales. We were in Wales, right. To be fair.
Yeah, but I think that is the right of every free person in this country. If I want to go out here right now and go down to the Thames and take a dump directly into it, that is my right. That is what we fought two world wars and made one appearance in a World Cup semi-final over.
I'm going to have a smash cut to you. CCTV footage.
There is a lot of people in the right-wing media that think Nish does that.
I actually wanted to touch on that, Nish. You spoke about in your show, Control, I think it was, you talked about your experience
sure.
of being the villain.
Available, the also available on Sky. Your Power, Your Control, Dish Kumar. It's also on. It's on Now TV and Sky.
Excellent. Triple
great plus. Service, actually.
Oh, Sky.
I should just say that the new one where you don't have to have a dish is really transformative.
Excellent.
What's it called?
We might have to bleep all this out.
Sky Screen.
Well, I look forward to getting a free one of them. That'll be that'll be good stuff. But you touched on this after your appearance at the Lord's Taverners.
Where sure, sure, sure. Yeah, yeah.
Your infamous comedy routine that went.
I don't see it as infamous. I see it as legendary.
Legendary. But having been, I suppose, inside the medium machine on the other side now,
yeah.
You're not writing for the Daily Mail in the series. That would be an interesting show, though.
Well, that would be a fantastic show.
Well, it would be tense.
Yeah, it would be very tense. And I imagine I wouldn't get much past the editorial.
A shortest show of all time.
But Nish, we seem to have rewritten your article.
We actually decided to write about you. Anyway. Yeah. We're going to cut out the middleman.
Yeah.
What did that shine a different light on it, perhaps, on that experience of like, not obviously what excuse what?
Well, media I, well has done, no. But what I would say is, I have a deep and profound respect for the skill of journalism. I have family members and friends that work as journalists, and so for me, I think it is a very, very specific and incredibly important skill. Obviously, we're working quite a different section of the media because there isn't a huge focus on opinion pieces in it. It's about actual on-the-ground reportage. And so I always felt like I always have and had a tremendous respect for journalists and journalism. I think that, you know, I think unfortunately the country is kind of in the grip of the opinion and editorial section of a small group of incredibly right-wing newspapers, and they have set the agenda in the British political landscape for as long as I can remember. You know, successful Labour election victories have been won with the support of Rupert Murdoch's papers. I think that there's a huge difference between the opinion section and the actual news sections of newspapers, apart from the Daily Mail, which can just the Daily Mail and the Sun, which can broadly go fuck themselves.
Broadly,
yeah. The Mail and the Sun just both.
I don't
can
think
just
you need
go
the word
fuck
broadly.
Themselves.
Yeah.
Our caveat won't help you there. I think. Josh, you famously used to be a journalist.
We just before this discussed that we both studied at the same postgrad place.
Yeah. Like round the corner from here, right?
Yeah, around the corner from here,
yeah. Right. I'm not sure I should give away the Joe location.
Here in Nottingham.
I'll be tweeting the postcode.
But how has the have you noticed a change in the industry since you've gone back in?
I studied, my postgrad was called magazine journalism, which you said still exists, but I was surprised at that. It was like a postgrad thing, it wasn't. And it was like, it touched on the internet, but there was an implication it probably wouldn't take off.
That was in, like, that's in the early 2000s.
2006. No, but it was like,
so
you don't need to know
they were
much
still
about
on the fence about the internet.
No, I'm being, it was more like, you don't need any specialists, you know. But now I imagine
SEO.
I imagine that stuff. And then I worked at The Guardian on the internet side of it, really. Mm-hmm. By which I mean I put other people's work onto the internet and called that journalism.
You did submit it by minutes.
I did submit it by minutes. I did one Formula One minute by minute that's still there. And I read it recently. And it is. I didn't cover up the fact I know nothing about Formula One as well as I thought. There's a bit where it says there's bits of cars all over the track. Anyway.
Could be bad.
Yeah. Make of that what you will. Rightly or wrongly.
Incredibly, we were bad at journalism. Yeah. And I know that's going to be hard to believe, given that one of us has a journalism qualification and has just revealed he used the phrase bits of cars all over the track on coverage of Formula One.
At the time, The Guardian was going through a real... it was trying to adapt. I was there when the... I was only freelance, but I was there when the internet and papers kind of got enmeshed,
yeah,
and it was quite fun because there was it was like a kind of a play you'd have about the new and the old coming together. Do you know what I mean? Like, there was grizzled old sub-editors who couldn't understand why you'd want the headline not to be a cheeky pun, but instead contain every word that someone might Google. And so at that time, and The Guardian wasn't going through a good financial time, I perish the thought. And so it kind of, it didn't feel at the time like journalism was buoyant. Mm-hmm. It felt like maybe it was the start of like, and no one really knew where it was going. I think now everyone kind of knows where it's going. And it's, I think all these local papers are just, they've realized that the way they have to adapt is to be the go-to place to go for local news online.
Yeah.
Like, this is Plymouth, which I go on regularly, because they have Plymouth Argyle, they're the best source of Plymouth Argyle news. That is going to get far more money than printing it in the local paper.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I suppose it's just the same, you know, for every, it's just moving across really, isn't
yeah.
it?
Mm. I suppose also that speaks to the, you see on different, it's like Reach websites, they have like the aggregate like Wrexham news,
yeah.
even though they're the Birmingham thing, like that's,
yeah.
I suppose the flip side of that is not local news will also be, like what happened in EastEnders last night, will also provide quite a large source of income.
Well, this is the problem with internet, and you do, you find yourself doing it yourself. You'll go, what time is, I don't know, is Liverpool v Chelsea?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you'll Google it, and you'll come up with Birmingham Live will have written an article that will have those exact terms, and they've done it, so that I'll click through and find. But that's not, the eternal thirst for hits, you know, is not conducive to brilliant journalism all the time, I'd say.
But I suppose the double flip side is it's required to keep the lights on.
Of course. I'm not judging.
I'm agreeing with you. It's like a snake eating its tail. It's just the...
Yeah.
Yeah, I think also like in terms of us as consumers of media, we may need to reacquaint ourselves with the idea that you have to pay for things.
Yeah.
You know, and so if you want papers to stay alive, you have to buy your local newspaper. And if you want national newspapers to stay alive, you have to, you know, pay for subscriptions to, you know, you have to pay for subscription models, especially because like the advertising is changing. And it's a complicated time in the media landscape, but it is important that independent news sources continue to survive, because otherwise the only news we'll all receive is the news that Elon Musk, Mark Zuckerberg, and, you know, two other people who run tech companies feel that it's fit for us to have access to.
Or Joe Lycett as well. He gets his
Joe Lycett, weirdly, is as powerful as all of that.
Well, look at the name of this bloody show.
Another sneaky prank from Cheeky Little Lycett. Yeah,
he's going to come in here.
Do you know what that, like, in terms of, those stories are going to get the most hits nationally that a local paper can get.
Yeah.
If you, because we'll always cover them, you know, and you do it on, you do it if you're on Have I Got News For You, or you do it on Last Leg, that Part Three will do a funny story because there's only so much. And so actually, I imagine if you've got a guy that looks like, who's found, you know, a picture of Jesus in a slice of toast, the Kleiner Classic.
Yeah.
That's going to go massive in the age of Twitter and Instagram and the other ones.
The other ones that you're so aversive.
The other ones that I'm all over.
Bebo.
Friends reunited. Yeah. It's going to be massive. It's going to be massive. Nish, you were host of the MASH Report, and all your comedy is very political, etc. And similar to John Oliver, etc. John's talked about...
I am, and that is where the similarities end.
I don't think that's very comparable.
Same people hate both of them. And I include myself within that.
You should see
someone Whittaker's tweets on his puppet account.
Yeah, my egg.
At John Oliver and at Nish Kumar. Go F yourself.
Yeah. You really wound me up today at work.
Yeah.
Anyway.
What's wrong with loving your country? Why do you hate our way of life?
Because I've been to Benidorm.
What do you think? What do you? What do you see a kind of a comedian's role is in like parsing the news?
I mean, I think if you do comedy about the news, you have an intrinsically parasitic relationship with it, because John is genuinely slightly different, because they work with actual journalists within their team, and they work to generate their own stories. That's one of the things that makes that show so unique and special. For most of the rest of us, we have a sort of parasitic relationship with it, right? Where the journalists generate news stories, and then we try and write a joke off the back of it. And I mean, the only higher purpose I can see is that it's literally just making news stories palatable so that people engage with it. That's the only kind of like high purpose I can see to doing jokes about the news. It's just like hoping that people get interested enough in what you've talked about that they go and read the actual article that you've taken the information from.
When I was a kid, my parents would watch Have I Got News For You? And I think I should have been up, but I was. And I knew a lot. A lot of my knowledge of like the news from the 90s comes from because I was up when my parents were watching Have I Got News For You. I was never going to read The Guardian at the age of 11.
No.
Yeah.
But I was, you know, I wasn't going to pick that up when my parents were reading that. Or they had Private Eye, but that looked so boring beyond the cover.
Dense, isn't it?
Yeah. You're like, that's not for me. That's not 442 magazine, is it? But I'd watch Have I Got News For You because it was funny.
Yeah.
And I probably know quite, I was aware of stuff a lot more because of that. And yeah, it's a really good, I'd say that's kind of case in point of what Nish is saying.
Yeah, that certainly was the John Stewart effect, I think, for lots of people of a certain age in the States. It was, it's an entry point, but it's not an end of itself.
It's like you'd, it's a bit like you'd hear, you'd read interviews with bands that you'd like, and that the things they mention would be entry points to stuff you're interested in.
Yeah.
And I think comedians is the same thing.
But it's no more than that, you know? I think, like, I think sometimes when people write about comedy about the news having an effect beyond just making people interested enough to engage in it, that makes me slightly queasy.
Just be aware, Nish has taken it to Brexit, to Trump, to the Tories, and none of them have any impact.
It all goes back to that. It all goes back to the Peter Cook thing about the cabaret circuit in the 30s having a devastating impact on the Nazis. Like, you can talk about the fact that it's has some positive impacts, but at the end of the day, you're just a fucking band on the Titanic. Like that's all you are, really.
So watch our show.
If you want to see a slow motion accident, make sure to tune in to Sky. Let's hold the front page, available on April the 24th, the second series, and first series available now.
Yeah, on Sky. It's on Sky Max.
To
the maximum. Sky Max, Now TV. Get your Sky.
Yep, make sure you pay.
Make sure you pay.
Yeah, legally.
Legally, yeah.
Get it legally. Don't stream this show.
I didn't know there was a way of subverting that.
I'll talk to you afterwards. Don't worry. Nish and Josh, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you.